Welcome to the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Hadrar, marketing consultant for female founders and creator of the Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator. I've helped dozens of women grow and scale their businesses from six to seven figures and beyond, helping founders like you to implement my proven growth system that focuses on brand communication, marketing strategy, building your lean team, and leadership. On this podcast, we talk all about what it takes to get to the next level in marketing and in life, focusing on practical, tactical advice that will help you grow your business and explode your revenue. Are you ready to learn? Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. I'm going to walk you through a case study of a specific business that has risen to incredible heights and sort of looking at it from a marketing perspective. And so as you listen to this episode, if you like this style, this teaching style, and you find this useful, it would mean so much to me if you shot me a DM and just let me know your thoughts. Today we're going to be talking about Rachel Hollis. So Rachel Hollis is a motivational speaker. She's an author. She is host of the Rachel Hollis podcast, which is a huge podcast, probably one of the most popular podcasts that exist. And I thought it would be really cool because I've been following her story now for a while and have always been looking at her business from a marketing perspective with my marketing hat on. And I think that she has done so many incredibly smart things. There are so many lessons that we can learn from her about building a business, but more specifically, building a brand that connects with audience, that develops deep relationships. But there are specific strategies that she has executed over the years that has made this massive success possible for her. And so I thought it would be cool to share my observations and ideas on why I think she has had that massive success that she has. I think that she's a really incredibly smart businesswoman, and I think probably one of the best in the world at community building. So we're going to break down exactly how she's built this massive following that she has. She has millions of followers across social channels. Again, probably one of the most popular podcasts that exists in the podcast world. And let's get into it. So who is Rachel Hollis? So again, she is an author. She's a motivational speaker. If you're not familiar with this, with her work, she sort of came onto the scene in a massive way, sort of nationally, probably around like 2017 or so. And it is after one of her social posts went viral. So this is a model that I've seen in a lot of different businesses where one of their social posts will go viral and then all of a sudden it'll seem that they're like an overnight success, right? But what we're going to be talking about is what she was doing probably in the previous 10 years before that post went viral to set herself up in the position where when something did pop off, where she did have this media attention, that she was in a position to harness that attention and really grow a thriving business out of it. So Rachel Hollis started her career as basically like a lifestyle blogger. She was sharing recipes and kind of like decorating, and she was an event planner in LA, and she's been writing books and sort of writing a blog and doing all these for many, 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 many years. And the way in which she kind of like shows up in the world has changed, but there's a couple things that she's done really, really well in a very sort of skilled way to sort of enable her to be where she is today, okay? Now, if you're not familiar with Rachel Hollis, definitely look her up. She's very interesting. Whether you connect with the things she actually says and her beliefs is a little bit besides the point because we're looking at her from a brand and marketing perspective. And I think you can see whether you are familiar with Rachel or not, these things that we're going to talk about, these seven things that you can do in your business to ensure massive success like Rachel Hollis, you can see these seven things that we're going to discuss across other brands that you love. Maybe different coaches and consultants or other physical brands that you love. These rules or these sort of ideas spread across no matter what your vertical is, right? And this is all about how do we create that foundation for massive success. So here are seven things that I've seen Rachel do over the years that have really positioned her to sort of sky's the limit, right? To kind of reach for the stars and go to the moon with her brand and everything that she does. So the first thing that she has been really, really good at is building an authentic brand. So her brand is her personality. And so when we have a personal brand like tied to our business, I think sometimes it's a little bit easier to do this. But as her brand is her personality, what she has done, and it has iterated over the years, but more or less she has shown up authentically for her audience. Now, in the beginning of her career, you can argue, and Rachel Hollis can be kind of like a polarizing figure if you Google her, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. I think people have too much time on their hands. You know, she has definitely changed and grown as a person, okay? But what you can observe from an audience perspective, as she's really kind of taken you on the ride with her in her growth journey, even in moments where it's been incredibly painful, right? Like divorce and loss and all of this stuff. And she's always shown up in a way that takes you along on the ride, because her value or her mission in the world is to sort of help people to be the best version of themselves. And that sometimes means walking through very difficult times. So she shares her vulnerable experiences as a way to sort of open conversations about things that people don't usually talk about, and to sort of be that inspiration and to be that guide to help others through difficult moments as well. And so showing up authentically means, again, talking through very difficult moments, and always positioning herself from a brand perspective as someone that is on the journey with you, right? She is always learning. She is reading, and she's sharing what she has read and sharing what she has learned in an attempt to bring you along for the ride. She's not coming from this place of authority and saying, this is how you should be. This is what, you know, this is the right way. This is the only way. That is not her brand, right? That is not her personality. And so with that, she's been able to develop this massive following, because people have, her audience in particular, has really responded to that type of communication, right? I'm with you. I'm just like you. We can do this together. If I can do it, you can do it. This has been sort of the tenets of this authentic brand that she's built. Now, if you have a product or service as a brand, it's not your personal brand, there are still many ways that you can infuse authenticity into your brand. And it starts with you. Like, even if you're not the face of the brand, so to speak, or the brand is not like selling you or your personality, as you are the birther of your product or service, you are the leader of your company, right? You started this business. It is a reflection of you. And so therefore, the things that you talk about, the way that you talk, your brand personality should be a reflection of you, right? Because it is your baby. It is your business, right? And so if you think about making sure that the copy, the design, the way, like the different strategies and tactics that you use, how you show up and how your brand shows up, and make sure that it resonates with you and it feels connected to you and who you authentically are, that is enough. It doesn't have to be you sharing, you know, really painful things about your business or about your life in order to connect with people. People can spot authenticity and they can spot phonies, right, a mile away. And as long as your brand and the everything that you execute in your brand is a reflection of you and the values that you hold as a business and as a business owner, you're going to be able to create an authentic brand as well. And if you're having a hard time kind of making that connection on whether your brand is showing up in a way that feels authentic to you, take some time to write down, like, what are your values as a human, right? What are your values? What are causes that really move you? What are the things that you fight for? What are your non-negotiables, right? And make sure that you are creating a business that is a reflection of those values, okay? So Rachel is a very good example of that. And if you know, whether you know her or not, dipping into her world and seeing how she shows up is a very, it's very inspiring.
as a brand, as a business owner. The next, I think, is the crux of her genius and the thing that I believe she is one of the best in the world at, which is mastering content. But more than that, mastering social listening and creating content out of social listening. So we know as business owners that we need to listen to our customers and clients, right? That we need to know them better than they know themselves. This is how we create great products and great offers, right? And we really serve our customers and clients well. But how many of us in true, like, honesty can say that we are really listening to our customers and our clients, that we're in community with them? You know, many of us have like social media managers, or we're just like scheduling our social posts just to like get content out there consistently. And we're looking at the numbers, like how are our followers growing? And maybe we're even looking at engagement. But more than those metrics and numbers is the actual conversations, the questions, the comments. Like, what is the content of those comments and the answers to those questions? Those are going to give you a lot of clues on the types of content you should be making that's going to resonate and connect with your ideal client, right? And she has been massive at that. And you can see that, you know, you can see that the, like, the blog posts and the podcast episodes that she creates, a lot of them are just like answering questions that her audience has. She actually even has a hotline, like a 1-800 number where you can call and ask questions to her. And oftentimes she takes those questions, she turns them into podcast episodes, or she'll expand on those questions and turn them into, like, you know, additional content and things like that. So social listening is really, really important, because a lot of us are, you know, creating content to churn out content, and that is important, right? To churn it out and be consistently showing up. But the type of content that you make, and making sure that your efforts are not wasted, that the things that you do are going to resonate with your audience, that's even more important. And it's something that I think is very inspiring from her brand and her business that she's done. The third piece is mastering social media. So Rachel Hollis has built her brand on Instagram. And while she doesn't maybe utilize it as much as she used to, because now she's very focused on growing her podcast and her YouTube channel, but for the past maybe like 15 or 20 years, she was almost solely focused on Instagram. In fact, the rise of her success is a viral Instagram post where she was showing like her cellulite or something. And it got so much attention, like national attention, in fact, that like Good Morning America was like knocking on her door. Because she had spent the previous like 5 or 10 years just consistently showing up on Instagram, but mastering that platform, understanding the types of content that she needs to be posting. What does the copy on her post need to say? What are the hashtags? You know, are hashtags even relevant anymore? Is the copy SEO optimized? Is the format of the video favorable for reels or stories? Or what does the feed look like? She has been so focused on one platform and being the best in the world, right? At that one platform, it's enabled her to grow. It's been a huge growth engine for her. Now, what do many of us do? Many of us, we spread ourselves too thin, and so we never really master any of those social platforms. And I fall victim to this as well. Like, I, as I said at the top of the episode, like, I love hanging out on LinkedIn. That's where I spend most of my time. It's where I make a lot of connections. However, there's a birdie in the back of my head almost every other day that is like, oh, I should show up on Instagram, should grow my Instagram. Meanwhile, I don't love showing up on Instagram. Honestly, it's not my favorite platform. It just isn't. But I have this idea that I should be doing this because so many people have had massive success on Instagram. But when I step back, I'm like, I think my people, you know, the business owners that I serve, the business connections that I make, I've gotten more clients out of LinkedIn. It makes much more sense to spend my time there. So that's, I always have to really remind myself of that. And I think we all go through the same thing, right? We think we should do XYZ LMNOP, TikTok. We should do whatever, like, for Be Real. I don't know. There's always another social platform to get onto, right? But the idea is mastering one and honing in on one. And Rachel has done an excellent job of that. Okay. Next is number four, events and community building. So kind of going back to social listening, I wanted to point out something that she did strategically and that she still does that I think is massive. She goes on like a tour, like a comedian or a band. She tours different cities. She goes to these like intimate venues where she's like putting on a show, which is basically doing like a keynote. But what she does at these events, I haven't been to any of the events, but I hear her talking about it. And what she does is it's really like a way to have conversation with the audience. So it's like even the next step of social listening is like listening in real life, right? She asks questions to the audience. She has interactive games with the audience. She's kind of like in a Tony Robbins way, like taking particular people onto stage and like talking them through problems and all this in real time. But what this does is, again, give her more sort of ammunition, give her more content ideas. So then she can in turn flip it over and serve her audience through her podcast, through her social content, through anything else that she does, because she understands this client so, so, so well. Because she's listening to them. She's having conversations with them, okay? And actually, Oprah is very famous for doing the same thing. I've heard many interviews with Oprah where she talks about, you know, staying before and staying long after episodes have aired with the audience, just understanding their lives and understanding their pains, and then turning that into content for the business, for the Oprah Winfrey Show. And that model worked so well. And I think we all feel so connected to Oprah because Oprah knows us. And the only way that she knows us is because she has been in conversation, has been networking, has been physically with us for all of these years and women like us. And I think that, you know, Rachel has done that. So she has this tour, but she's done it through conferences. She's done it through online events. She's done online coaching before, things like that. She brings people together to really understand their lives, their needs, their desires, right? So I think like the one thing I could say again that has been the crux of Rachel's success is that being in community with her audience and listening to what her audience has to say, okay? The next thing, number five, is testing. So one thing you can see across Rachel Hollis's career is that she's tried a lot of stuff. She's had apps. She's had products on her site. She's made a documentary. She has these live events. She's done conferences. She's done business conferences. She's done masterminds. She's done all of these things. And over the years, she has been very smart to sort of put things into the world. And if they weren't working, to quickly stop them and move on. And this is something that I think a lot of us have trouble doing, but it's one of her qualities as a founder that I think has been incredibly smart. You know, a lot of us, if we build something like an app, for example, we are so attached to the work that we've put into it. It's that like sunken cost fallacy where it's like if you've poured energy, time, and effort into something, you just like want to make it work. And even if something's not working or not giving you the return or people are not receiving it well, you just keep going into that same direction instead of iterating and improving and changing and shifting. So it has been, for her, she's always come with a consistent message and a consistent objective, which is to enhance people's lives and help them go towards their dreams, okay? But the way in which she served people have changed. It's sort of the same offer with that same outcome, but packaged in different ways. She's tried so many different things. And what we can see like her life now and the business that she has now is a reflection of all of those things and sort of seeing what works and double down on what worked. So through all of these, like the apps and the conferences and all these things, you can tell that she's doubled down on this podcast. And so everything that she does in her life, which is like getting incredible guests for the podcast. All of her social media is directed towards getting people to listen to the podcast or subscribe to the YouTube channel, right? It's all about building that audience because her revenue is through sponsorship and through advertising. And so the more that she can grow that audience, the better opportunity she'll have for advertisers. And she already is at the top of her game with the portfolio of advertisers that she has for her podcast, incredible, like car brands and Quaker Oats and all of these things. So that is her objective, and she's very focused on that. And you can see all of the things that she's tried over the years and kind of now where her focus is and what is that one thing for her. But sometimes we need to try a lot of different things in order to find out what that one thing is for us. Number six is kind of ties back to number one of the brand authenticity, but is holding a steadfast commitment to your values and your pillars. So the other thing that I think, you know, Rachel is one of the best in the world at is really truly understanding her ideal client avatar, right? Her woman is this kind of every woman, this kind of, you can hear it in the way that she talks, the phrases that she uses, the examples that she uses, right? This woman is kind of this every woman, this middle America woman who's maybe not quite living the life that they want to live. And so they come to Rachel for that motivation, that spark, those ideas to learn and to grow. They feel safe with her because she's not this authoritarian figure. She's holding your hand. She's just like you. I'm in it with you, right? All of this is really appealing to this woman. And the three things that she's talked about over and over and over again for years is health, relationships, money. And that's really it. Like if you go through all of the things that she's hit that from many different angles and explored many different facets of these three pillars, but everything that she really talks about, it circles back to these three things. And she has pretty strong opinions on each of these topics. And so in that, she is a guide, right? Because people, they want to hear her ideas in order to formulate their own ideas, right? Now, again, these pillars, like no matter what the way in which she's presenting herself or packaging them, it's always the same. And that brings me back to the list and the last point I want to make, which is about consistency, okay? Rachel's been incredibly consistent. She's written, you know, the popular books that she, her New York Times selling books, have all been really focused around one main thing, which is like self-improvement, self-development, and focusing on these three things. She's shown up consistently on email, on social media, in conferences, on the podcast for years. And she hasn't, like, while her offers may have changed, her message has always remained the same. And it is that consistency in message over many, many years that builds that audience, that loyalty, and that revenue, like brick by brick. And I think this is something that a lot of us flounder with, right? Is not sticking with one ideal client avatar, right? Wanting to capture opportunity and going into different segments or, you know, creating new products that are totally different than what we're doing, right? Just not having a linear story over a very long period of time that people can connect to and that people can identify with. So Rachel's success, like in this case study to kind of tie it up, has been about really showing up authentically, listening to what the audience needs, wants, and desires are and their problems are, and then really consistently showing up with the same message over and over and over again for years. And instead of, you know, one strategy that you can see very clear with her is that a lot of us, we want to go sort of like wide, right? We do one thing and we want to, you know, get some ancillary segments going. So we create like products for other different segments and we kind of go wide to kind of serve a lot of different needs. But what Rachel has done, which is a very smart strategy, is she's gone deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And maybe that means that, you know, someone like me, I dip into her world, you know, in and out when it serves me. I still consume her content. I follow her. I enjoy her podcast. But, you know, there's moments where I'm more into it than not because it has been the same thing over and over again. But what she's focusing on is always reaching more people, right? So she's got a million followers. She could say, okay, now I'm going to be targeting men that are, you know, in this region of the country. No, she's saying there's more of my, I have not squeezed dry this every woman in America, right? I have not really tapped out on the total addressable market of this ICA. So that's why we keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. How do we know this woman more? How do we serve them better? And in turn, attract more of this prospect into our world. So this is what I would leave you with, right? In what ways are you communicating your brand consistently, developing that relationship with your audience, with your prospects? How are you showing up in and expressing your values as a brand, right? All of these things done over a consistent period of time builds that foundation for massive growth. So when that opportunity does come along, when that article is published, or when that post goes viral, your business is ready to receive and to excel. So that's what I have for you this week. If you liked this case study, and if there's any other businesses that you'd like me to break down and kind of go through their journey of what they've done in terms of marketing, please send me a DM on LinkedIn. It's Victoria Hajar, H-A-J-J-A-R. Send me, you know, the business. I would love to do some research or dig into it. If I'm not familiar with the business, I will do the research. I will do the work because I think this is really fun. And I think that there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from others' success. And it also makes these things that we know to be true, these things that we know to be so important, it reminds us. Because oftentimes when we're executing on our business, a lot of times we forget the basics. So doing these kind of case studies reminds us of the most important things we need to be focusing on to grow our business, to expand our audience, to build a brand that, you know, has that like, know, and trust factor to build that audience and ultimately build the revenue. So that's it for this week. I hope to see you back here next week for the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. Have a wonderful week. You did it. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks for sticking around with me and listening all the way to the end. I really appreciate you as an audience member, and I hope that you found this helpful. If you did like this episode, it would mean so, so much to me if you subscribed, if you rate and review this podcast. It helps other people know that this podcast has something worth saying. It also would be super awesome if you could take a screenshot and share on Instagram and tag me at Ugly Ventures, UGLI Ventures, VENTURES. I am always so appreciative to hear from you, and I hope to see you back here next week